Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do, when
I was a little
girl, I grew up, when I started to live alone.
Radio. Your program is Hallelujah, the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. Hope and pray that all is well in your family circle. Hallelujah. And I just hope and pray that whatever you are designed from the Lord, that you believe when you ask, and it is yours just for the asking. You know, God want us to come to Him. God do not want us to go to anyone else, but God want us to come to Him for our needs. So I just hope and pray that you're having a beautiful morning, hallelujah, on this blessed day that God has enabled us to partake of. And so, once again, you're tuned in to the Old Ship of Zion, hallelujah, where your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. And I do have the prayer request dial-up studio line, and that number is 646-200-3074. That number again is 646-200-3074. At the conclusion of this program, you will be prompted when to call in, hallelujah, with your prayer petition. And so now we don't have much time, so we're just going to move along on into our program. We're going to skip the prayer petition. We're just going to pray, and those of you that has lost loved ones, we want to pray for the family that has lost, I think, 9 family members. We want to include her in the prayer. But we won't be able to just address the prayer at this time. We're just going to cover it in our opening prayer right now. So I'm just asking those of you to come aboard. I have the chat room up and available for your sitting and listening pleasure. And so you just come aboard, bring your chip, your dip, whatever you want to sip, and allow me to minister the divine word of God unto your heart and soul on this morning. And like I said, time is of an essence. Time is moving rapidly along. So I'm just going to go right now into opening prayer, asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart, hallelujah, of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured, God. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather together, God, in unity once again, God. Hallelujah, coming from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims, hallelujah, traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me to bring away my word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple of God, his people, say, amen, hallelujah, and amen. So, like I have first stated, I just thank you, you know, for being able to tune in with the old Ship of Zion, hallelujah. We welcome all of you. We welcome our guests. We welcome our first-time listeners, we welcome a kingdom family, and we welcome my kinship family and friends and all of you, hallelujah, that are listening on this morning. We want to just welcome you and want you to return on our next scheduled program. We would love for you to be in our midst. And so without any further ado, we're going to go on into the Word of God, because like I said, I want to bring you a little bit of Hymns of Zion, but, you know, I want to bring you the Word first and foremost, because, you know, the Bible tells us that we have to have the Word of God and able to stand. You know, it's so much going on in our global world, and you know, it's not like it was in days of old, although we know that God's word is still the same. God's word never changed. We know we change. We change our attitude. We change our clothes. We change our hair color. We change our shoes. And we change whatever we want to change, you know, that we feel like we want to improve, make improvements on. And so, but God is a holy deity. His name is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. He is our soon coming Messiah. His identity is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. So we know that God never changed. We change. We change our mind. We change the subject. We change what we want to listen to. We change from knowing wrong to selling out for wrong. We know it's right, but we'll sell out for the wrong. That's the kind of society we're living in, where now wrong is apparently the new right. You know, we know what those of you that know the Word of God and has been in church any length of time know what God's standards are, but yet we fail to do those things that God has directed, commanded you and I to do. And you know, when we be disobedient, God tell us that we are heathens. And you know, a heathen is just like a brat, a wayward child. Some of you might have heard the term baby kid. So, you know, if you ever heard the term baby kid, that means that that child was a bad kid. And the kid is not the kid's fault, but it's the parent or whoever is over that individual. You know, whoever is bringing that child up, if they're not bringing that child up in the proper way, proper management, then that child will be disobedient. You tell it to stay, it will go. You tell it to be quiet, it will start talking. You tell it to lay down, it will get up. So it's just contrary to what, you know, the guidelines that you have set forth. And that's the same way it is with God. God said that my yoke is easy, you know, and my burdens is light. So it's nothing about God that's complicated. But, you know, like I said, we're living into this high-tech society to where, you know, anything goes. You know, people don't care anything about how they're looking. You know, when they leave home, they just don't care. You know, they might go by the mirror and look in the mirror and they see all the things that, you know, they should, you know, maybe do some adjustments, but instead they'll say, oh, I look all right. You know, I'm going on just like I am, you know. And so, but, you know, God set a standard for us to adhere to. And it behooves you and I and us to listen. And then after we listen to what God has to say, then to implement those commandments and those precepts and biceps in yours and mine and our daily lives and our daily itinerary as we go to and for. Hallelujah. Because one thing about it, whatever that you do to your body or do to anyone else, the Bible says that what you reap, you're going to sow. And so we're going, I want you to get your digital devices, and I want you to turn to the Epistle Book of Galatians 6 and 7. And it reads this. It says, whatever man sows, that he will also reap. So we know that whatever we do, whether it's good or bad, there's going to be a payout. You know, and just like, you know, when you go on your job and you get paid maybe biweekly or weekly, and so at the end of the week and it's time for you to get paid, you go on your job location and you go to pick up your check, of those that, you know, that go and pick up a paper check, or some of you might have your money going directly to your bank. But however, I'm just using this as an example. When you go, you know you have went to work the full week. You are looking for a full payout. You're not looking for them to give you half of your money, part of your money, some of your money, because they're going to have some problems with you. So that's the same way it is with God. When we be disobedient and we be those heathens that God talks about, then God will chastise you and I and us just like we do our children when they were kids, and like you and I was done, we was disciplined when we was children. But in today's world, you know, you can't really discipline your child, you know. Any child that's in your care, you know, you got to be meticulous on how you talk and how you approach that child, because it can get you into a world of trouble. So where me and you might have gotten, we might have gotten a chastisement, maybe with a little switch or maybe in a belt. Those things you cannot do in today's society because you will get in trouble. So you can't do that. You have to use other means to disciplinary your child in today's world. May it be to take off their phone. If you bought them a phone, you say, well, I'm going to take your phone away. Maybe they have some play dates with other friends. And you say, well, no, I'm not going to let you go on the play date. You know, and you may say, well, I'm going to give you allowance, and so now you're not going to get the allowance. So there's other ways in which now that you can stipulate the punishment of a disobedient child or disobedient behavior. There is another way to go because, like I said, if you do anything as to try to spank that kid, you know, with a switch or maybe a paddle or something like that, or even with your hand, you will get in trouble. So that's the same way it is with God. When we be disobedient to God, there is a day of reckoning. So we will reap what we sow, that disobedient, you know. And a lot of times, you know, we can save ourselves from a lot of heartaches and pain just by being obedient. You know, when we're out and, you know, we're going on vacations and trips and things like that, and if God has talked to you in your spirit before you ever left home and said, well, daughter, I don't think it'll be wise for you to go on that trip, son. I don't think it would be wise for you, you know, to drive 2,000 miles to the next, you know, three or four states. Well, you have to heed to that warning, because if you don't heed to the warning, there is, like I said, there is a day of reckoning for being disobedient. And we cannot, you know, put the blame on nobody. You know, we always want to find somebody to blame so we can you know, try to carry it to court. We got to carry it to the next level, you know. But we got to search our own selves and see where we're going wrong. When God told us to turn right, we went left. When God said no, we said yes. And when God said wait on me, we decided that we would do things our own way. So see, that in itself is disobedient right there. That's disobedient. I remember when I was in high school and I had a driving instructor who gave me some sound advice. You think by looking in the rearview mirror, you know what is on your left side? But sometimes your vision is limited. Instructor said, always look over your shoulder before changing lanes, because there just may be another car in your blind spot. And we know that in today's world, people are driving down the road. You don't know what they're going to do. They got all these gadgets inside of their car, but they fail to use them. They feel like, I'm not going to use my blinkers. You know I'm going to turn right. I'm not going to use my blinkers because you know I'm going to turn left. You know that I'm going to keep on going, you know. And so the instructor told me, you know, I got my driver license at a very young age, so I have a lot of driving experience under my belt. And so, like I said, the driving instructor said, you know, that might be another car in my blind spot. And I found out that his wise instructions has kept me out of more potential wrecks than I care to think about. And so we can go into the life and time of Moses. Moses had some wise instructions for the people of Israel. They were to make the study and contemplation of God's commandments an integral part of life. Moses said that ye shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And in short, we know that God's word were to permeate every aspect of yours and mine and our lives. The Bible is our instrument manual from God for navigating life journey. But merely owning a copy is not enough. It must be studied. It must be applied and then passed on to others. See, just as you and I are driving in our day-to-day itinerary, just checking our blind spots should not become an automatic response. While we drive, we must apply God's word, which should be our natural response as we encounter the hazards of life. It will help you and I and us to avoid a spiritual crash. The Bible will tell you and I what is wrong before we have done it. All we got to do is listen to God for that small, soft voice. Listen to God. And when we listen to God, we will learn a few things. You know, we don't know everything. And so we need to listen to God. Listen to his word. You know, because every day God has a word for you and I and us. And we must not be so busy that we can't hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. So that's the same thing, because God is a spirit. So when God's trying to talk to you and I, we must not be so busy that we can't listen to what God, because it could be a life and death situation. You know, God say he always give us warning before destruction. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read another couple of scriptures, and you can write them down for your edification and go back and refer to them. Hallelujah. So We're coming out of the Gospel of James 1 and 5, and it reads this. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Hallelujah. Now, we know that Eve explained the rules of the tempter. She and Adam could eat the fruits of any tree in the gardens of Eden except for the special one in the middle. We find out that just touching it, she said, would bring death. I can imagine Satan throwing back his head and with mocking laughter saying, "You will not surely die." In the law of Genesis 3 and 4, he then suggested that God was holding back something good from her, and that's verse 5. We know, though, for thousands of years, the enemy has repeatedly repeated that strategy, because we know that Lucifer, we call him Lucifer, we call him the devil, we call him our adversary, and we know that he does not care about you and us. And if you believe in the authority of the Bible, as long as he can get you to disbelieve that the one thing standing between you and God is sin, you will not surely die. We are told that this is the theme of so many modern novels. The hero, the heroine, the lives is disobedient to God, but suffer no consequences. There are TV shows and sitcoms and movies. The character rebel against the moral laws of God, but live happily ever after. We know that this is even a perfume called My Sins. And it's a fragrance so alluring, so charming, so exciting that the ad tell us that we could only call it My Sin. You would never guess that sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. In the temptations you face, will you believe Satan's lie, or will you believe God's warning? Because you and I know one bite of sin leaves a bitter taste, and that is an aftertaste. You don't want to go against God's when he tell us, don't go that way, daughter. Don't go that way, son. We must be obedient and not go our own way, our own path, because it can only lead to destruction. You know, the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his M.O. Every day he's searching and seeking out whom he may devour, meaning whom he can fool into his playground of tricks and tricks of his trade. That's his trademark, is to trick you to believing that what he says is real, is true, is genuine. But he don't care anything about you and I and us. He don't even care about himself. And that's the real deal. And so, in the law of Leviticus 10 and 10, it says, distinguish between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. We know that in a world still whirling in sin, long after its catastrophe and collision with evil, God commanded his followers to live holy lives. Leviticus 11 and 45. Distinguishing between clean and unclean is essential to that task. We know that such discernment requires more than finely tuned physical sense. The Apostle Paul wrote that the natural man, that is, the human being, in its sinful state, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. In the law of 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, it is the Holy Spirit who provides this wisdom. You know, just like you and I enjoy, you know, an old pair of socks, a whole pair of shoes, many people seek comfort in old dirty sin. But we must be mindful that our comfort and consolation come from God. Hallelujah. Who loves us, who established us in every good word and works. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16 through 17. And there is no true happiness apart from holiness. No holiness apart from Christ. The Bible says holiness without, which no man, a lot of people don't believe that, but it's a fact, no man shall see God. So you got to be holy. You can't come any other way. God said if you tried to come any other way, he said you come as a thief and a robber. And we know that God is not going to allow any thieves and robbers hanging around, hallelujah, the firmament of heaven. There will not be any thieves, anybody trespassing. You will have to have a welcome invitation only into the pearly gates. So the Bible tells us that whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. That scripture reading once again is coming out of the law. That is our key scripture on this morning, Galatians 6 and 7. And the sermon on this morning entitled, Count on It. You can count on it. What you reap, you shall surely sow. Because the Bible guarantees it. Anybody ever done you wrong? You've ever done anybody wrong and you have not made that right? I would suggest you right now, if you can get in touch with that individual, to get in contact with them and tell them how sorrowful that you are of what you've done, what you said, and ask for their forgiveness. And if you can't get in touch with those individuals, then I would suggest you to go to God in prayer. Tell God that you're sorrowful for the things that you said and did. God will remember them anymore. God will put them in the sea and remember them anymore. Hallelujah. You know, there's a children's book called The Chance World. It's called The Chance World, describing an imaginary planet where everything happened unpredictable. For example, the sun might rise one day or it might not. It might appear at any hour some days. The moon might come up in its place. One day you might jump up and not come down. The next day find gravity so strong you can't even lift your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so we know that we should be thankful for the dependability of the natural laws that the Creator has set in motion. They are a great benefit to you and I and us. And if we recognize and respect them, if we violate those laws, however, we will suffer the consequences. There's also true of God's spiritual laws, such as one in today's text. The person who ignores God's standard and caters to sinful appetite can expect destruction. But the person who follows the leading of the Holy Spirit will experience the blessings of everlasting life. We know that God's laws never fail, for better or for worse. You will reap what you sow. You can count on it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. When we sow seeds of sin, we can count on a harvest of judgment. There will be a chastisement from God Almighty. God said, who he loves, he chastises. So, you know, if you have a child and you feel like that child is too beautiful, it's too all pretty, and it's too this and too that, to be chastised, and chastisement comes in all forms. I'm not talking about, you know, you doing anything that will get yourself in trouble. but you telling that child the do's and the don'ts of God's law. And you will keep that child out of the penitentiary and perhaps out of the grave, because a wayward child cannot live out his deeds, because the enemy want to destroy that individual. That's his M.O., is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God say, I come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. And so in the Gospel of 2 Samuel 12:1-14 reads this. Says, purge me with hot soap, as I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalm 51:7. And omit that scripture, 2 Samuel 12:1-14. Omit that. And that scripture, purge me with hot soap, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow, is coming out of the law of Psalm 51:7. Hallelujah. So I know you know the story of King David, Israel's most illustrious ruler, the man after God's own heart, became the seducer, the adulterous, the liar, the murderer, the utterly pitiless, and unmoved by his monstrous misdeeds. Israel's ruler was now ruled by sin. Hallelujah. We find out a year had passed since David committed adultery with Bathsheba and orchestrated the murder of her husband. David deteriorated physically and emotionally. His nagging conscience kept him restless. At night he tossed and turned. David was brought face to face with his corruption. His defense crumbled. He cried, I have sinned against thee, Lord. In the law of 2 Samuel 12:13. We find out Nathan, the prophet, replied, the Lord also has put away your sins. Despite the devastating consequences of David's sin, he was assured of God's forgiveness. You know, it's no big sin, no little sin, no medium-sized, super-sized sin. Sin is simply sin. I don't care if you murdered somebody, if you cursed out someone, if you cut someone with a knife, or if you, whatever misdeed that you've done, it's no sin greater than the next sin. It's all, at the end of the day, it's all sin in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. It's all sin. And so, like I said, Nathan the prophet replied that the Lord had put away David's sin. And that despite the devastating consequences of David's sin, he was assured of God's forgiveness. After realizing the extent of his sin, and it was consequences that David penned the Gospel of Psalm 51, a song of repentance and pleading for God's forgiveness. I acknowledge my transgressions. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So I want to ask you, those of you that are listening in the audience on this morning, are you suffering the consequences of sin? I would encourage you to admit your wrong, ask God to cleanse your heart. He will show mercy and restore your joy if you turn to Him. We know that our sinfulness can sap our joy, make us feel far from the Lord. But we know that confession and repentance, though, will provide the way to be restored. Repentance means to hate sin enough to turn from it. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Allow God entrance into your heart. God want to come and he want to reside in your heart if you allow him to be. All you have to do is just submit yourself to God and acknowledge that you have sinned. Tell God that you have acknowledged that you have sinned and you have committed a wrongful act and you want God to forgive you. And God will forgive you. God will offer you the gift of eternal life out of his great love for you and I and us. Hallelujah. The choice is yours on tonight or this morning, wherever you are over the world. Might be day on your block, but it's still night on my block. But it could be day on your block, on your corner of the world. But all we have to do is acknowledge that we have sinned before God. There is good news, and that is, it is God's grace. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. Not of your own self, but it's the gift of God, not of work, lest anyone should boast. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 2 and 8 through 9. God is able to provide the gift of salvation. The consequences of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23. So God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of our wrong. By rising from the dead, he showed his claim. We're true. Now he offers each of us eternal life. Have you gotten off the hopeless treadmill of working your own way to heaven? Hallelujah. You can simply by asking Jesus to be your personal Savior. He gave his assurance of eternal life. Each and every individual who comes to him. This is the wonderful news of the Bible. He said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. We have to make up in our mind who we're going to serve. We know that time is of an essence. We don't know when God allowed to knock at the door of our heart for the final curtain, for the final time. So it behooves us to know where we're going and to make the right decision and make Jesus our ultimate choice. Today is today of salvation. And our sermon on this morning has been Count On It. Our key scripture reading, hallelujah. Let me see if I can find it. I think our key scripture reading is coming out of the law of, let me see here. Oh, let me see. Let me get back to, Lord, where is my key scripture? Let me see here. God, I've lost my, had my little clipping in there. Hallelujah. Need just a minute to find it because I want you to write this down and you can go back. And so our key scripture has been coming out of the law of Galatians 6 and 7. And it says, whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. And once again, our sermon has been Count On It. God's law never fails, for better or for worse. You will reap what you sow. Hallelujah. And God said so. So we know that we shall and will believe the report of the Lord. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something. Hallelujah. to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence, God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. Send your correspondence to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. We're going to now open up the prayer request line. So if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree and go down in prayer, that God will bring your prayer petition to fruition, I will encourage you to call in. Hallelujah. I will gladly pray in faith. I am a praying woman, and prayer is the key. Hallelujah. Prayer is the key. All we got to do is just pray and ask God and believe it. God said, blessed is those who have not seen but yet believe. So all you have to do is just believe. God is requiring only a mustard-sized seed of faith. That's all he's requiring. And that's just, that's just like a little micro dot. You've seen a mustard seed in your spice rack. You know, that's just a little seed, and that's all God is requiring of you and I and us, is a mustard-sized seed of faith. Believing that what we ask God, that he'll do it. When it's sane, we can't come to God with nothing that's, that he's, that's not of God. But when you come to God in sincerity and ask God for what you want and you believe it, God will give it to you. I'm guaranteed. I am a living witness to that fact. You ask God, and he will do it. So we're going to give you a few more minutes to call in to the prayer. We call it our prayer request dial-up studio line. And the number again is 646-200-3074. 646-200-3074. We're going to give you a few more minutes to call it. And if there won't be any callers at this time, or if there's not any callers at this time, then we're going to go into the second phase of our program, and that is the Hymns of Zion. This is to uplift your spirit, whatever you're going through, and to encourage your heart, because we know that there's a lot of individuals that need an uplift. You need a kind word. You need, somebody to let you know that you can make it, you're going to make it. When others said you wouldn't, God said you can and you shall. So you shall make it. Matters what it look like, matters what the naysayers say. You believe God. Pray and watch God show up and show out. Hallelujah. In your favor, God is going to do it. I tell you. So now, I guess without any further ado, then we're going to take you on over to the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. You're also encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people-friendly. So until we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Y'all don't mind worshiping the Lord with me. Anybody have one tonight?
You And I don't know how.